This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama, and then our feature of health and healing. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to the Jubilee Year 2025. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Leo XIV has encouraged the faithful to always turn to God whenever they are looking for meaning in life. He said this in his catechesis during his midweek general audience on Wednesday as he reflected on the gospel reading of the day taken from Matthew chapter 20 verses 1 to 16. This is about the parable of Jesus regarding the workers in the vineyard. The Holy Father said the story fosters our hope in that at times we have the impression that we cannot find meaning for our lives and we feel useless and inadequate, just like the laborers who wait in the marketplace for someone to hire them to work. In his remarks, the Holy Father reminded the faithful that God waits for us with open arms, no matter how late we are in responding to his call. Deborah Lubav reports.
God never gives up on us. He is always ready to accept us and give meaning and hope to our lives.
Pope Leo XIV gave this comforting reminder during his weekly Wednesday general audience in the Vatican. God, Pope Leo marveled, wants to give everyone his kingdom with a life that he noted is full, eternal, and joyful. And that, he highlighted, is exactly what Jesus does with us.
E così fa Gesù con noi, non fa graduatorie. A chi gli apre il cuore dona tutto se stesso.
He doesn't rank us. And to anyone who opens their heart to him, Pope Leo insisted, he gives all of himself. In light of today's parable, Pope Leo acknowledged that a Christian nowadays might be tempted to think, why start working right away if the reward is the same? But he reminded that St. Augustine had responded to this doubt, saying, why then do you delay to follow the one who calls you when you are sure of the reward but uncertain of the day? St. Augustine also said, be careful not to deprive yourself through your delay of what he will give you according to his promise. Before concluding, Pope Leo had said he wished to address some words to the faithful and especially the young people. Don't wait, but respond with enthusiasm to the Lord who calls us to work in his vineyard. And he underscored, don't postpone. Roll up your sleeves, because the Lord is generous and you won't be disappointed. By working in God's vineyard, the Holy Father stressed, you will find an answer to that deep question you carry within you. What is the meaning of my life? Therefore, the Pope stressed, let's not be discouraged, for even in the dark moments of life, when time passes without giving us the answers we seek, let us ask the Lord to come out again and find us where we are waiting for him, for he is generous and he will come soon.
May all of us, and especially our young people, be generous and enthusiastic in responding to his call to work in his vineyard.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Just before his midweek general audience on Wednesday morning, Pope Leo XIV received in a private audience a delegation of the National Italian American Foundation. In his address to the group, the Holy Father recalled the fact that a hallmark of many who immigrated to the United States from Italy was their Catholic faith, which he said sustained them in difficult moments. The encounter with the members of the National Italian American Foundation came on the 50th anniversary of the organization. Devin Watkins has this report.
Pope Leo XIV met on Wednesday morning with members of the Italian American Foundation, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Between 1820 and 2004, around 5.5 million Italians immigrated to the United States, many of whom hailed from southern Italy. around 16.8 million Americans have some Italian heritage, counting over 5% of the population. In his remarks, Pope Leo noted that millions of Americans proudly claim their Italian roots, even if their ancestors arrived in the United States generations ago. The Pope praised the Italian American Foundation for its efforts to provide scholarships to young people facing financial hardship. He said their work to educate young people regarding Italian culture and history helps maintain a mutually beneficial and concrete connection between the two nations. Speaking in English, he recalled the popular piety and religious devotion of many Italian immigrants.
A hallmark of many who immigrated to the United States from Italy was their Catholic faith. With its rich traditions of popular piety and devotions that they continued to practice in their new nation. This faith sustained them in difficult moments, even as they arrived with a sense of hope for a prosperous future in their new country.
Pope Leo observed the group's visit to the Vatican occurs during the Jubilee Year of Hope, and he invited them to enjoy the spiritual wealth of Rome. The city, he added, is marked by the tombs of the Apostles Peter and Paul, as well as many saints who have strengthened the Church through the difficult periods of history. In an age beset by many challenges, said Pope Leo XIV, may this renew your sense of hope and trust in the future. I'm Devin Watkins.
The Catholic Church has just celebrated the World Communications Day. Established by Pope Paul VI in 1967, the World Communications Day encourages us to reflect on the opportunities and challenges that the modern means of social communications afford the Church to communicate the gospel message. The Vatican and most dioceses celebrate the World Day of Communications every year on the Sunday before Pentecost, which this year falls on June 1st. In order to commemorate this important day, communications experts in Nigeria gathered at St. Gabriel's Chaplaincy at the Catholic Secretariat in the nation's capital, Abuja. The current Catholic Bishops' Conference of Nigeria Chairman for Social Communications, Archbishop David Ajang, celebrated the commemorative Holy Mass with the National Director of Communications, Reverend Father Mike Umo, concelebrating. Delphine Asu sent us this report.
The focus of the day was on media experts, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, united by their profession. These pressmen were appreciated and recognized for their tireless efforts, and their tools were blessed during the Holy Mass. Earlier in his homily, the National Director of Communications, Very Reverend Father Michael Umo, gave an overview of the Communications Week.
Seventh Sunday of Easter every year is World Communications Sunday. It is always the Sunday before Pentecost Sunday. For us in Nigeria, the World Communication Day celebration starts the week before. So Communications Week starts on the sixth Sunday of every year and culminates with the World Communications Day on the seventh Sunday of Easter. Let us reflect on our communication style. Let us go back through those daily teachings again, which were very rich and very instructive.
In Abuja, Nigeria, Delphine Asu reporting.
Communities in bandit-infected Kerio Valley in Kenya have more in common that unites them than what divides them. This is according to the local ordinary of the Kenyan Catholic Diocese of Eldoret, Dominic Kimengich. He was speaking during his homily when he celebrated a Requiem Mass on Monday for Father Alois Cheruyot Bet, who was brutally murdered recently in Kerio Valley. He was the parish priest or priest in charge of the newly created St. Matthias Mulumbatot Parish of Eldoret Diocese. Father Alois met his death on May 22nd. In a heartfelt plea to the warring communities in the area, Bishop Kimengich emphasized the fact that if for nothing else, residents of Kerio Valley are united by language. He appealed for an end to the territory's long decades of violence and division. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Ivory Coast opposition leader Tidjane Thiam has been excluded from the country's final list of presidential candidates. It is a major setback that renders him ineligible to contest elections scheduled for October. Thiam told Reuters in April that he would not drop his presidential bid despite a court ruling that his name be struck from the register due to his French nationality at the time of registration. The decision by the Electoral Commission of Ivory Coast risks tensions in a country that emerged from more than a decade of civil war. That conflict was also partly fueled by disputes over nationality and electoral eligibility. Thiam, who is 62 years old, was elected as leader of the PDCI, the main opposition party in Ivory Coast. He has accused the government of President Alassane Ouattara of undemocratic practices. Former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo and three other opposition figures have also been barred because of past political charges or convictions. President Alassane Ouattara, who has served three terms, has not declared whether he will run in the election. Notorious Ugandan rebel and fugitive Joseph Kony will now be charged for his crimes in absentia by the International Criminal Court, ICC, in The Hague. In September this year, prosecutors will present evidence against Joseph Kony in court to back up charges of war crimes and crimes against humanity. This is despite Kony's whereabouts being unknown. Joseph Kony, the leader of the Brutal Laws Resistance Army, faces dozens of crimes against humanity and war crimes, including murder, sexual enslavement, and rape. The ICC rules do not allow trials entirely in absentia, but can in some circumstances move forward with confirmation of charges, even if the suspect is not in custody. Kony's court-appointed lawyer had argued that the fair trial rights of his clients would be violated if the proceedings continued without him in court. The ICC judge, however, maintained that the court has adequate and robust safeguards to protect Kony's rights and allowed for at least the confirmation of charges to be held in the absence of Kony. Joseph Kony, the leader of the Lord's Resistance Army, began his attacks in Uganda in the 1980s, where Kony sought to overthrow the government of Uganda. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Health and Healing. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, released a report recently confirming that girls around the world tend to spend more time on social media than boys and that this is affecting their mental health. The report was compiled from research conducted by UNESCO and published research from experts from different countries around the world. Social media are noted in the report as means of communication of concern because the rules they use to rank, filter, and organize the content for users magnify negative gender norms and practices. Some of the social media are designed to be addictive, and hence excessive screen time does affect attention spans and learning habits. Girls' mental health in particular is eroded, especially when they are subjected to negative feelings about appearance and body image. Ana Diadio was one of the UNESCO officials who wrote the report. She explains.
The report first looks at the impact of technology on girls' education opportunities and outcomes, but also it goes a step further, saying that while technology offers many opportunities for girls, especially in crisis contexts and emergencies, it presents a lot of dangers and risk for young users, but especially for girls. And finally, it looks at the issue of technology on the side of education opportunities, and in fact, looking this through a gender lens allows to see how much disadvantage have girls still in accessing science and technology careers, engineering careers, so the STEM path. And in terms of choice of subjects, in terms of graduation rates, and presents some new and latest data from the UNESCO Institute of Statistics that show really how much behind we are in this area. This has a lot of consequences because it means that diversity is not also in the production of idea and products, developments of technology, especially with the rise of artificial intelligence. This is a very important issue.
Tell me a little bit about what the report attributes increased social media usage in girls to and why it affects them differently.
The issue of the spark in social media usage concern all boys and girls. And this is because of different factors. Of course, we know very well that there is this widespread availability of smartphone and high-speed internet, global connectivity. So the fact that social media provides a very easy way for users to connect with others worldwide, and really this ability to establish and maintain a relationship, even at a distance, has been really appealing. I would say in the last years, the evidence has shown that, for example, girls have much more often problem of mental health compared to boys. The latest survey about health behaviors that is produced by the World Health Organization has shown that double the number of girls reported a mental health problem compared to boys. So this points to some issues that really needs to be taken into account because it's something that affect their well-being, and their well-being is important for learning.
Do you think there is any way that this increased social media usage can be positive for young girls?
There are examples in the report that shows that this digital technology used together with the right messaging can have a positive effect. So yes, definitely. But I think that what is important is to use, to learn, and to teach how to use social media and technology.
And the report recommends ethical considerations in the design of social media platforms to support girls' well-being. What would this look like?
Social media framework and platform should provide privacy settings that are easy to understand and to use. So also, there is this important issue that the report tackles, that is the bias in the algorithm, in the machine learning algorithm. And in fact, I think that's something really important, the fact that the algorithm of social media are addictive and very biased. So it's important also to make sure that algorithms are designed to minimize exposure to harmful content and develop tools that combat cyberbullying.
Finally, can you just give us one or two ways UNESCO will work on remedying the remaining stubborn exclusion of girls' access and attainment to education?
Our role in terms of gender equality is quite clear. We advocate for policies that make education system more inclusive, for example. We organize events with different stakeholders, with Minister of Education, but also with civil society, with students, activists that help to disseminate the different findings and messages of our reports. We organize campaigns to raise awareness of different issues.
Ana Diadio, an official of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, speaking there to Shane Hate. And that was Health and Healing for this week.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello, I welcome you. out to today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, as we continue to journey together as one family in Christ, united in faith and hope. My name is Sister Mary Dinclair Anikwe, and I'm so honored to be one of you in this journey filled with hope. Speaking about being one family in Christ, which is what we are called to be and our common vocation as Christians, the Church celebrated the Jubilee of Families. This event, which took place from the 30th of May to the 1st of June 2025, was dedicated to families, children, grandparents, and the elderly to celebrate the gift of unity and oneness which Christ prayed for to his Father on our behalf, and which we are called to live out not only as biological families, but as a family of God by the virtue of our Christian faith. The Jubilee of Families began on Friday, 30th May 2025, with more than 60,000 pilgrims who came to Rome to participate in this festival of love. Among these pilgrims, we are representatives from numerous dioceses, associations, movements, and many other international groups who had come to participate in the event in order to join in the promotion of the human and spiritual growth of families. Pilgrimages were made by these groups and the participants to the holy doors of the four papal basilicas between 8 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. on Friday. At 10 o'clock a.m. the same morning, there were dialogues with the city and the different squares of Rome, where a series of cultural, artistic, and spiritual events took place by different Italian associations, such as the Pontifical Committee for World Children's Day, the Association of Families for Welcoming, and others. On Saturday, 31st May, the pilgrimages to the Holy Doors continued, and in the evening of the same day, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., there was a family festival and the prayer vigil at the square of the Lateran Basilica of St. John, where the Holy Rosary was also recited to conclude the Marian month of May. On Sunday, 1st June 2025, a Holy Mass was celebrated and presided over by the Holy Father Pope Leo XIV in honor of families all over the world. The square of St. Peter's Basilica was filled to the brim as so many people were in attendance, including tourists from different countries. The Holy Father, with beams of smile all over his face, welcomed all those present, as each and every one of us are products of families, and none of us can deny that. In his homily, the Holy Father reminded all that we should strive to be one, just as Christ prayed to the Father, that they may be one. This entails being one not only in our families, but also in those places where we live, work, and study. Talking about the gifts of life and family, may we listen to one of our correspondents, Kelsey Gussie, give us some highlights from the homily of the Holy Father.
Reflecting on the gift of life, Pope Leo XIV called to mind the words of his predecessor, Pope Francis, who explained how we are all sons and daughters, but none of us chose to be born. From the moment of our birth, we depend on others to survive. All of us are alive today thanks to a relationship, a free and freeing relationship of human kindness and mutual care. Pope Leo underscored that this is the message we are called to share with the world, that we are here to be one in our families and in those places where we live, work, and study. He clarified that being one does not mean being the same. We are all different. We are all called to be one. In a world full of conflict and disagreement, the Pope encouraged everyone to ground their love in Christ, because he said if we do this, we will be a sign of peace for everyone, in society and in the world. This, he reminded everyone, as families are the cradle of humanity's future. Building on this, he said in recent decades there are more and more examples of holy families. There have been a number of married couples who have been beatified and canonized, not separately, but together. Pope Leo gave the example of the parents of St. Therese of the Child Jesus and the Ulma family from Poland. The Pope explained that the Church's call for the marriage covenant to be respected today is important because it is unifying and has a reconciling power that can change the world. He reiterated that marriage is not an ideal, but the measure of true love between a man and a woman, a love that is total, faithful, and fruitful. And this relationship, he urged, should be an example of integrity for children on how to act. Turning to the children present, the Pope reminded them of their duty to honor their parents and thank them each day for the gift of life. He also gave grandparents and the elderly a task: watch over their loved ones with wisdom and compassion, and with the humility and patience that comes with age. To conclude, Pope Leo stressed that the family is where faith is handed on from generation to generation, shared like food at the family table and like love in our hearts. Therefore, the family is a privileged place to meet Jesus. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Thank you so much, Kelsey, for sharing with us this wonderful reflection from the event of the Jubilee, as we hope to become better versions of the persons we are called to be as products of families founded in Christ. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being part of this journey as we bring today's segment of our program to an end. I hope to be with you all next week on this same station and at this same time. I still remain your companion on this journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, let the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.